Philly Sports Town, Philly Fan Podcast. My name is Zach. That's Andrew. And play the song. The Sixers pull off a fantastic win, winning 125 to 114. And let me tell you, Andrew, it was the exact kind of win they needed. I think I said it on our last podcast, which went up today, April 25th. This one will be going up on Friday, April 26th. This is a special post-game. What game are we on? Game three? Post-game three podcast. I think I said it. This is we needed a solid win. We needed a zero questionless win. It was clearly our win, and it was the exact kind of morale booster that I could have hoped for. I don't even know where to start. Start off with Joel Hans Embiid, the maniac, getting his career high in the playoffs at 50 points. I didn't even see how many threes he successfully got after hitting back-to-back ones, a total of five for seven threes. I mean, he was on fire. He was absolutely phenomenal. Surprised, to be honest, not in a bad way, that Maxey only had 25 points. The way he was throwing them up, I was like, this dude must have like 35, 40. Like, it just, this game was crazy. Bottom line, it was exactly what I said. It was everything it needed to be. Super excited going into game four on Sunday. I think it's like 1 o'clock-ish, 1:10, something like that.
1 o'clock.
Yeah. I mean, so much, I will say, share of this win. This was a full team win. I mean, everyone contributed in ways that just needed to happen. Felt like I saw Lowry a lot better. I always feel like I say his name wrong. Lowry. Larry. No. The third quarter is when the entire Sixers team decided to shoot threes and hit every single one of them. No, it was just a wild game. It was a wild game. It was a fantastic win. Can't believe it was a big win. It was a big, and I'm talking that double digit win is huge. That was a huge morale booster for the team, for the fans. I mean, I was listening to the Anthony Gargano show today, and the bro, Jamie Lynch, was on, and he wasn't even going to watch game four if we lost today. And I can't blame him. But, like, what, it's literally your career? And he's like, nah, I'm out. It's like, that's insane. And this game was such a, like, no, fuck that. We are still in this. And they even did the Andrew, you quoted it last episode. But one of the announcers, I don't remember anyone's names ever. But one of the announcers even said today that, you know, the saying goes, a series doesn't start until someone wins away, or someone loses at home, or however good. But they said that today, and it's so true. We pull off this win Sunday, it's best of three series, and it's crazy, it's scary, but it's doable. And so here we are, sitting at a Sixers win again, 125 to 114. I don't know if you can hear me wheezing. I'm so excited. I'm not breathing. I'm just talking. So I'm going to throw it to Andrew. I don't know. Like I said, I think the best place to start is just Embiid, but take it off, man. Kick it off. That's what I meant. Kick it off.
Yeah, no, I'm 1,000% with you. I mean, everyone stepped up in this game huge. I think I'm going to go outside the obvious. Obviously, the 50-point game, his first career 50-point game, Embiid. Dropping that obviously is a big spot. I'm going to take the road of the coach here. This is something you didn't see Doc Rivers do, and that's change the lineup up. You saw Doc Rivers last year just keep the same lineup, and we talked about it after the game too. We needed to see something, and we talked about Harris going 40 plus minutes. We didn't want to see that today. He cuts back to 33 minutes. Buddy Hield misses his first two shots, so he pulls Hield and he goes to campaign, who didn't get to see much playing time through the first two games, and he scores 11 points in 16 minutes. His three three-pointers off the bench, and that really sparked this team, his energy. off the game or off the bench there to get the game going for the Sixers in that second quarter, which has been an area the Sixers have struggled at this series is that second quarter. But he provided that, and Embiid took over in the third quarter, and this team dropped 43 points. And you saw the adjustments from Nurse after that second quarter and what he did at halftime to go outscore the Knicks 43-27. So yeah, obviously Embiid's going to get majority of the love, which is obviously well deserved. But I'm going to take the Nick Nurse road here, and I think he was tremendous in this game.
I do want to say a little praise to Nick Nurse. Very well do, but he's just a guy that seems in control. Even like in the losses, like I think this is true. Like he doesn't really lose his composure. You know, barred the situation of the refs not seeing him blatantly go for a timeout, you know, something crazy like that, right? But like overall, he is very like calm, collected, and there was a moment, because the last, I mean, Andrew's probably got this on like just on ready on lock, but like how the last, like I think it was solid 4 minutes of the game, it was back and forth of about 10 points between the Sixers and the Knicks. And the entire time, I'm not trusting any of it because of game two, right? Like, I'm standing, and I'm like, at any point, either team could just break away from the other. And it was just the fact that it kept being right there. It made it them. But anyway, every time they showed Nick Nurse, he was, like, I would say ready. He was prepared. He was not at all shaken by the situation. And I do feel a lot of respect for him right now in this moment, especially compared to, I don't know anyone on the Knicks. I mean, I know players, not like off. Anyway, the Knicks are a bunch of garbage can people right now is the best way to say it. I mean, I'm a Sixers fan. I'm going to say I hate them, and it's great. But I mean, that coach, what a loser if I've ever seen one. I mean, he's got the Charlie Brown tough of hair thing going on in the middle. He's just absolutely looking miserable the entire time. Like, he doesn't want to be inside. He doesn't want anything to do with this, with basketball, let alone the city of Philadelphia. And just an absolute phony baloney loser. And this guy is just constantly complaining at the TV. And like the first half of the game, I'm watching it at a bar, so I can't hear anything, let alone like what they're saying. I can't even hear the announcers. And like, I just see this guy, he's constantly opening his mouth and blah, 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 blah. Nick Nurse, just, I mean, it could have just been the way they showed him, but I felt like he looked way more in control than the other guy. And I greatly appreciated that. I greatly appreciate that he just is ready for the situation.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's been here before. The year they won the title with the Raptors, they were down 2-0 in a series before against the Bucks, came back and beat a very good Bucks team there. So he knows the road. He knows he's got two in Philly here. He knows when to make the adjustments. And again, you saw it. Tobias Harris doesn't play the last 5 minutes of the game. He goes with the lineup that worked the best. Not your starting lineup, not the guy that's getting paid the third most on the team. So again, he's going to do what it takes to win. And it continues to show. And this was obviously a must-win game. No NBA team's ever come back down 3-0. So, I mean, it was clearly a must-win here for the Sixers. They went out, took care of business. No, for sure. It was a fun game. Hectic first half, but Sixers really took control in that third quarter.
That third quarter, man, was phenomenal. I'm
best by far.
I'm a clapper. Movie theaters, I clap sometimes. Clapping at the TV when I'm watching my sports games. Like, I'm clapping at the just killing it moment. And in that third quarter, I was just standing there applauding my television. Top volume. Like, just straight up applauding. Cats hated me. Valerie was upstairs. But it was phenomenal. And it was just a lot of fun to watch. I bluntly hope it continues into Sunday, obviously, so we can get to that 2-2 state. Everyone and their mother was saying, you know, the refs would be in the Sixers' favor this game after the literal backlash and, like, admitting their guilt of game two. I felt like that wasn't the case. There were some situations in maybe the third or fourth quarter where it kind of swung in the Sixers' favor, but I felt overall these refs are just all over the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I think, you know, it's the Sixers are going to defend the players and they file that grievance, I think that kind of hurts. I mean, refs don't want to see that. You're fouling against them like that, and that's obviously going to make them mad, make the NBA mad. I think, I don't know, I agree with you. There's a lot of tough calls there, and that's the one downside. I think if I had a bone to pick with the Sixers tonight, is I let the refs get in their head way too much, because obviously it's something that's not going to go your way this series for whatever reason.
Yeah,
it's three games now. I mean, you just got to start playing through it. Leave that.
I mean, to be honest, we were lucky Embiid wasn't taken out in the first quarter. Because
yeah, I hate to say that was a dirty play. I mean,
so the first time wasn't a flagrant, and I'm glad it wasn't called a flagrant. But it was, but like that leg grab was straight up dirty, and it was that was Embiid being like that was like 24-year-old Embiid coming out. You know what I mean? Like his emotions got the better of him. The Chick-fil-A, he wanted the Chick-fil-A, and it was rising to the top, and he just grabbed that dude's leg. I thought it was hilarious at the second it happened. And then I'm like, oh shit, the consequences are real if this guy gets taken out right now. That's lucky.
That's one I'll probably be fine for.
So, but who gives a shit? It's not my money. But like,
hold on, I'm packing it up. I think it was a dirty play. I think it's fine.
At that point, though, like, the refs are clearly, like, I don't want to say anti-Philly, but the refs are not in our favor, I'll say. I get the tension is high on this team. Like, and it's truly, like, they're playing two opponents right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, don't get me wrong, yeah, it was a dirty play, but the problem is, if you call the charge first, when he gets shouldered to the ground, I mean, you don't get the leg grab. I'm not trying to defend him. Again, it's a dirty play. But to your point, yeah, if the right call is made, that play doesn't happen. If they call Embiid getting hit when he's shooting that first three-pointer, that play doesn't happen. He's at the line shooting three foul shots. That's the frustration that built there. Again, I'm not trying to defend him making that dirty play, but that's where the frustration grew from, is he got fouled twice in the span of 20 seconds and didn't get the call.
No, that was the funny thing, was they weren't calling things left and right on the Sixers. Like they were letting them play, which that just obviously isn't the case. Like this referee team clearly is not letting them play, but that's how they treated the Sixers fouls, it felt like.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, I mean... Look, looking over some stats here, I think I already said it, Maxey at 25 points. Lowry, oh my God, I could tell you everything about the guy and can't say his name. Can't say his name. Kyle Lowry. It's not. It's just, I go to say it on the podcast and it just is. But Kyle Lowry, I feel like he was more involved than the stats show. Like, I thought he was a very active participant in tonight's game.
It's because he's an active player. I mean, he's constantly moving. He's not standing there. He's not moving around. He did a good job moving the ball. He doesn't get all the assists that he gets with that you call the hockey assist. Or, you know, if they give that second assist, he could have been given that one. He's swinging the ball to other players. And, I mean, you see it with the starting lineup today. Every single starter had at least three assists. Like, that shows you the ball movement they were doing, how well they were just on the same page. And again, that starts – just from the team gelling together. And I think they will continue to go a long way, and this team will continue to. And that's what I was saying, coming back home, it's where the role players step up. You see, it's where you see the role players step up here. You see Kelly Oubre, he has a big game, 15 points as the next piece. And again, I think this team continues to roll at home. And I think you'll see a lot of the same on Sunday.
Now, Buddy Hield and Paul Reed kind of non-existent again. We concerned about that still? Like, because that feels wrong.
Yeah, I'll continue to say it. I mentioned this after game two, and I think he continues to prove me in this one too, is Paul Reed shouldn't be out there this series. I just think it's a big mismatch. I'd love to see them try Mo Bamba. He's a bigger guy. You need that size in this series. I mean, look at Paul Reed. He got 3,006 minutes. I mean, that tells you he's playing from behind. He's trying to play catch up there, in my opinion. Finishes with 3 points there. Again, he just doesn't move the needle for me. I don't think he's playing that well, so why not try Bamba? I mean, it can't get worse. I mean, it's not like you're losing 3 points there. Bamba can do that. He's 7 feet tall. You can accidentally get a putback off an offensive rebound. Buddy Hield, I'm very concerned. You know, you made that trade. He came out hot with his team, hitting three after three, and right now he can't buy a basket. And you saw the concern with Nurse. I mean, Nurse saw it 4 minutes. He missed two shots, and he pulled him right away. He didn't even get to finish the first quarter. That shows you how concerned the team is with him. And when you're down 2-0, you can't let them try to figure it out. If you're the Knicks and you're up 2-0, then you're talking a different story. You can leave Buddy Hield out there for a little bit, try to get him going there. But you can't make that, and that's why you went to campaign quick, and Payne answered the call. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to not even see Hield next game if they just go from campaign from the start.
I got to say it was
off the bench, not starting.
Another thing in Nurse's, I'll say favor or, you know, like praise is that decision not to go with Hield when he's, you know, he turned on Sports Talk and everyone and their mother is talking about how like, oh, where's Buddy Hield? Where's Buddy Hield? And it's like, yeah, like he was a trade asset acquired and he was expected to be a big participant. And I do feel like it's kind of that thing where Doc would have him playing regardless. And it's like,
he would.
And I do gotta, and again, I hate being in that position where Andrew and I have to say we're wrong, but we were both very much Doc defenders and, you know, got to sit here and be like, yeah, Nurse is making these right decisions and I'm happy to see these decisions be made.
No, for sure. I mean, I said the same thing last time. I mean, it's clear to me that the difference in the upgrade and, you know, it's something that this team hasn't had. I mean, with Embiid, I think Sports Radio's talked about it a little bit. Doc did great developing these guys. I mean, he's added stuff to Embiid and Max's game, obviously, since they were both drafted, but he just wasn't a good in-game manager. And that's the difference you're seeing right now. So, Nick Nurse, tremendous. We were both wrong, but, you know, you're wrong. We're wrong every once in a while. Nobody's
Hey, I never like being wrong, but I always admit it. We're now, right, the thing I'd like to just go on is the Knicks. I mean, this series in general, I don't want to just say the Knicks team. I mean, fuck them. But, like, the Knicks, this series is a dirty, dirty series. Like, I'm watching this game today, and I'm just, it's so disgusting sometimes seeing these teams go at it. And it's funny, and this is very old school basketball in my eyes, I feel like, but it was early first quarter. And the full court press was like aggressive, and I was just sitting there like, "Damn, like we're not getting anything from this Knicks team." And it's, I know, Gargano Show, Kincaid and Salchunas, like those guys have all talked about like this Knicks team is playing like they want it. I won't say want it more, but they are playing it full force like they want it. And to me, this game three, where we still win by 11 points and a great win, man, in that first quarter, I could tell they were not letting up at all for this game. They wanted game three.
No, for sure. I mean, I think that's the fun in a Philly New York series. Is this going to get physical? I mean, we both know both cities don't like each other. I mean, just across the board. I think this is, it's been a hard fought, aggressive, physical series. Playoff basketball kind of reminds you, you know, what everyone always tells us the 90s basketball was like, how physical it was. I mean, you saw it there with the flagrant on Kyle in the first quarter. I mean, that's to me, should not be a flagrant. I mean, he's going for the block. It's not like it's a hard hit. I mean, but you know what? I think the Sixers were trying to send a message in this one. Obviously, they did that early on. And it was again a little.
I lost you. You muted yourself.
I don't know how I did that. I think they obviously get called two flagrants in the first, first 5-6 minutes of the game?
Something like that. Very early.
I think it shows you. And again, I mean, they reviewed like what, six plays? Like it was unbelievable. I didn't think
the first time. Ever... bar with my hamburger, and I felt like every other time I look up at the screen, and it's the refs on the sidelines. I'm like, where's the game?
Yeah, no, it was excessive. It was very long. I think our dad put it in our group chat. I think he said the first quarter was like 45 minutes. I mean, a basketball quarter is 12 minutes.
It was insane. I mean, it's 11:30 right now. Like, what are we doing? Like, it was somehow earlier the other night. I'm in another time zone there. Like, I don't. Crazy, crazy bananas. Yeah, no, I just think it's pretty. I mean, I don't want to say exciting, but it is. Like, if we were not Sixers fans watching this series is very exciting. Like, as just a basketball fan, this is a cool series to watch. Because both teams are just so actively chasing this in a way that neither team is letting up in the first round. And, like, if this is the second round, this wouldn't be surprising me. But for the first round, this feels very, like, aggressive. It's almost the Invincible quote where it's like I'm gonna blank on the actual quote now, but it's them making fun of Papali putting all his effort in practice. You know what I mean? Like,
this ain't high school.
This ain't high school, man. And, hey, that old man just beat you or whatever. Like that's what I feel like. I know it's the playoffs and I know it's round one still, but like, I feel like the amount of aggressiveness and dirtiness in this series is usually like round two level. And we're only round one, game three.
I think that's where the NBA, obviously Sixers and us fans did it. And obviously, I'm not saying they wished it on Embiid, but the Embiid injury kind of benefited the NBA because they got this first round matchup where if Embiid never gets hurt, you're looking at, this is probably a 2-3, to your point. This is probably the second round matchup. You know, Sixers probably finished close to the 2 seed, Knicks probably 3 or vice versa, whatever. So you're looking at probably a 2-3 matchup here in the first round. I mean, so the NBA really benefited from this. I mean, yeah, to your point in game two, like imagine if that was the, I don't know, Nuggets Lakers series. We're looking at it as an incredible ending, not us blowing the game away, choking the game. And we're looking at that as one of the greatest finishes.
Yeah, exactly. But no, we're sitting here. Still down one, but very way more optimistic going into that game four with at least one win under our belt. And as you said, Andrew, let's get one more, and that's just the best of three. Any other Sixers talk before we move on to our quick draft updates for everyone?
I guess just going into game four. I mean, I would look again. I'm gonna look after the game Payne had. Look for him to get the first minutes off the bench. See if you get him going early. Keep the hot hand. But outside of that, I mean, I think you're gonna see a lot of similar stuff. I mean, I'm interested to see what the Knicks throw back at the Sixers. Obviously, it's their time to make their turn to make the adjustment here. And we'll see what Nurse has to answer. But no, I'm excited going into game four, and hopefully Sunday afternoon we're talking about an even series.
I hope so. Hope so. All right, let's get into some NFL draft news real quick before we round this up and get this out of here. Now, folks do or do not know, but I am not the biggest of college football fans. I love my Penn State Alumni Association kind of thing. Being an alumni of Penn State, I'm an avid Penn Stater. However, as far as college football, I am by no means your guru. Andrew is your guru. But I do want to give you kind of my thoughts on the draft before the Eagles pick. I was pretty excited. I had a friend text me, hey, what are your thoughts on the draft? I'm like, hey, not watching the draft, watching the Sixers. Let me look at the list real quick. And just kind of going through, you got quarterback, wide receiver, offensive tackle, wide receiver, tackle, quarterback, wide receiver. Like, so many quarterbacks and receivers went in the first round before us. I was excited because it was like the things we want are still on the board. And then Andrew texts and he's like, the things I want are still on the board. There are three guys. I hope we get them. And the fact that Howie takes one of them, I got to say, I was a little worried. We're watching the draft as this podcast starts, actually. And it shows the Mailata showing the pick. And I'm like, are they going to pick someone not even in the NCAA? Like, I don't know if you fell for that, Andrew, but I'm like,
no.
Are they going international for their first round pick? Like,
nah, that was just that they had that fun.
They had their gimmick. They had their gimmick. Yeah. But
I was shocked. Honestly, I was expecting Jason Kelce. I was thinking he was going to announce the pick before they went to that. But the whole international, you know, we got that international first game this year. Against the Packers. I think that's why they went down that road.
Probably. That makes sense. Jordan Love. So like I said, but like leading up to our actual pick, I was pretty excited because as far as Eagles, what we wanted, it was a lot of things were available. Bowers went in the 13th pick, which was, you know, a lot of talk. Where were we going to move up and get that Brock Bowers pick? Didn't happen. It's fine. We didn't need it. But here we are. And 22nd pick, we got Quinyon Mitchell. But I am still shocked we actually took a cornerback. So I'm going to give it to Andrew to kind of say how much he loved this pick, because I know he was excited for it.
Yeah, I heard all the Bowers talk today too, and that was the last thing I wanted. Nothing against him. I think he's gonna be a great player.
Can you imagine if we had the like Wentz drama, but at tight end position this year?
Well, it's not like that, because I was talking to Dad before for a little bit, and he brought up a good point. It would make sense the Eagles draft history because of the way you saw it with, you know, before we drafted Zach Ertz, you had Zach Ertz and Brent Celek. Then when you had Zach Ertz, you drafted Dallas Goedert. Now you had Ertz and Goedert. So it would have made sense in the Eagles draft history. But I just think with this team in win now, win ready mode, it made a lot more sense to just pass on the tight end, go get the defense. It's what you needed the most. And the Eagles did that. And I mean, you couldn't have asked for this draft to fall any better for the Eagles. I mean, you look at it, in the sense of this top 20, I mean, you heard it with the three cornerbacks that Eagles were looking at. Everyone thought you'd have to trade up to get Mitchell or Arnold from Alabama, and instead, they all three of them fall, and Mitchell, Arnold, and Dejon to the Eagles pick, and you ace it. First time the Eagles take a cornerback in the first round since Lito Shepard, I think it was 2002. They were able to do that. So, no, just incredible that he fell to the Eagles, and you couldn't have asked for a better situation for this Eagles team. He brings in a lot of speed for this defense. I thought he would have been a top 15 pick, so the fact that he didn't have to trade up to get him is great. I think he can go make an immediate impact next year, but the bright side is, you know, most teams, when you're drafting a guy in the first round, you're going to throw him into a starting role. I mean, this guy's going to have years to learn under Darius Slay and James Bradberry. I know Bradberry's coming off a tough year, but I mean, still a good cornerback, and I expect him to have a bounce-back year. And now you get to line up Mitchell as that cornerback three with Avante Maddox there, and even possibly move Maddox back to safety for a little bit. I mean, I think this opens up a tremendous opportunity for this defense. So I love this pick, and it was pretty tough for Howie to mess it up when all three corners fell in his lap there at 22. And obviously each person you're going to talk to probably had their guy if they wanted Arnold, if they wanted Mitchell. But again, I mean, I don't think you could have went wrong with either of the three that fell there. So, again, tough to pass up. I absolutely love this pick. I think one thing that might scare some people is, you know, he's not coming from an Alabama or Georgia. I know obviously a lot of people always like those types of players, but you know what? I think he'll be just fine. He's obviously got a high grade for a reason. Was supposed to be a top pick. And again, great, great move here by the Eagles and solidifies a nice spot here in the defense.
So I did have a kind of, I guess I'll say hypothetical, but not really a hypothetical because it's over. But a lot of talk was that we could have got an offensive lineman. And then that was also kind of the same talk of like, oh, do we get Bauer at tight end? It's like things that you stack in the offensive side of the ball is my point I'm trying to get at. And this idea that like kind of, I felt like it was no one said basketball mindset, but I felt like it was a basketball mindset. It was like, screw defense, just go all in, balls to the wall on offense. You wanted a quarterback. Was there any part of you that wanted an offensive position filled? And regardless, how do you feel about that mentality if that was like the path that was taken?
If we would have traded up and got one of them, I mean, it was my first choice, but I've been fully happy. Obviously not, as you mentioned that, but I mean, it's something you live with and you look at it like you got a great player. But the way the draft fell, and you know, you see all 14 of the first 14 picks were all offensive players. And I think the next three of the next five were offensive players. It was like, okay, you lost all the offensive talent already. Like, definitely don't pick an offensive guy there, because at that point, I almost feel like it would have been a reach.
Right.
I think the way the draft shaped out, I would have been extremely disappointed. I know one offensive tackle the Eagles were high on, blanking on his name, went at pick 20 to the Steelers. So in that case, if he would have fell, then yeah, again, as somebody the Eagles went in on the draft board, were high on, like, and all that. But instead, he goes to 20, and he was off the board. So at that point, you would almost, if the Eagles would have went offense, you would almost felt they fell into that trap of, oh, everyone else is picking them, we got to panic and take an offensive guy here. So I'm happy they didn't, but especially because of the way the draft fell. I think that's more why I would have been disappointed, just because of all the talent that went off the board, because some of those defenders were supposed to be mixed in there with some of those offensive guys falling back. So yeah, I would have been disappointed if the Eagles went offense there at 22 with the way the draft went.
Nice.
All right, well, I guess that about wraps us up here. The draft itself is closing in on the end of round one. Dallas just picked Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle. Sure. So I have nothing more to add to that. So I guess, Andrew, just kind of closing remarks on what do you hope to see from the Sixers on Sunday besides a win?
I would like to see another fast start. I think they've done well with that. Getting out that fast start, control the middle game. I think the third quarter was the big difference tonight. Use that as well. I think, again, that those middle quarters is what hurt the first two games. And then you started playing catch up again, where tonight, I think you were even in the second quarter and then dominated the third quarter. So, again, use that middle game is what I want to see. For the Sixers going forward on Sunday, I think you'll come out with another victory.
Nice. I like it. All right. Well, I think that about wraps us up here at Philly Sports Now. Thank you, everyone, for listening to your special post-game three session thing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Links and information are in the description below. You can find us on Twitter, Anchor, Podcasts, wherever you got your stuff. Possibly doing a post game four podcast, we'll see, but this will definitely be coming out on Friday, April 26th. Maybe look to see the next episode Monday, April 29th, if that math is right. Something like that. Math is hard sometimes. Anyway, thank you guys, everyone, for listening. This is Philly Sports Now. I'm Zach, that's Andrew. Play the song. Thank you, everyone. Good night.